Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Good morning and welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and today is Tuesday, May 2nd, 2017, and we are in the third of four parts of this episode, wherein we are looking at the assigned lectionary texts for Sunday, April 30th, 2017, which is the third Sunday of Easter. So far we have talked about the reading from Acts. Yesterday we talked about the reading from Psalm 116, and now we move on to the third reading, which is the New Testament reading from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. And I've been asking you as we go through this Easter season where you find signs of resurrection. And today, being as it's May 2nd, I wanted to mention my second niece. I have five nieces and one nephew. They are the joys of my life. I also have a couple of kiddos that are like nieces. They're not technically related, but they are my nieces. So I guess you could say I have seven nieces and one nephew. But today is my second niece's birthday. She is my brother's second child. She's the dreaded middle child. She is the sweetest thing. She is a junior in high school. She just turned 17 today, which just shocks me. Her older sister is 20 and in the Navy, which shocks me even more. But it is her birthday, and it just makes me realize how lucky I am as an auntie to have such amazing nieces and a nephew in my life. Today's birthday girl, as I said, is 17. She's a junior. She is so sweet. She has the kindest personality you've ever seen. She's kind. She's sweet. She's caring. She's a nurturer. She's a giver. She has a little bit of that middle child syndrome where she's the peacekeeper in her family, but it comes from her sweet personality. She was the happiest baby you've ever seen. She just had these big blue eyes that would look up at you, and she had the most wonderful smile. And so when I think of new life in terms of the resurrection, I definitely think of these kiddos in my life. And yes, they'll always be kiddos or babies, even though they are growing up on me and making me feel old, but I'm so proud of them. I am so proud of all of them, and I'm especially proud today of Ashy, who is 17, and just she is involved in school. She does well in school. She does drama. She is just done her spring play recently. And as I said, she's a carer. She's a nurturer. She brings light to my world in all sorts of ways. So today she is my resurrection promise, as well as all of my other nieces and my nephew. And I give thanks to God each and every day for them, because they do light up my world. They do bring light to my darkness. They do remind me of the promises of God, because each and every one of them is a beautiful child of God, as I tell you at the end of each podcast. And so happy birthday, my dearest Ashy. I hope you had an amazing day, and I love you to the moon and stars and back. So there's my resurrection sighting of the, or resurrection reminder, maybe that's good alliteration. My resurrection reminder of the day. I hope you have seen resurrection in your life as well. Signs of new life, signs of God's continued love for you, signs of God's presence in this world, of Jesus's light in this world, of the covenant that God has made with us. So, as I said, we are going to be moving on to the third reading assigned for this week. That reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. And those verses are as follows. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, Love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God. So again, those were the verses assigned for today for the New Testament reading. They are from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a refresher on what we talked about last week in terms of 1 Peter. If you remember, we've been talking about Pentecost in the book of Acts and Peter's sermon that he gave on Pentecost, and how there were 3,000 people that heard that sermon and were baptized that day. So then, if you remember from last week when we spoke about 1 Peter, 1 Peter is written to a group of people in Asia Minor, and they are people who very likely heard Peter's sermon on Pentecost and were convinced by him that Jesus was, in fact, the Messiah. So they went back to their hometowns, their home cities, and took that with them. They took their baptisms with them. They took what they had heard from Peter with them, and churches began to form. So Peter's sermon on Pentecost really had far-reaching effects. It was the basis and the beginning of much of the early church. So you might also remember that many of the people who were gathered to hear Peter speak on Pentecost were diaspora Jews, meaning that they were spread out in a lot of different places. So they were often living in places where they may have been considered to be foreigners or strangers or other. And that is why the Holy Spirit was given to the disciples, because so many of the people who were gathered there that day had been living in other places and spoke many other languages. So they were given the gift of the Holy Spirit, which included the gift of tongues. They were able to speak to the crowd gathered. The crowd was amazed because they were hearing the disciples speak to them in their own languages, and which was, I would say, a gift that they were able to hear these words in their own languages and then were able to understand more fully and take those promises back with them when they went home, so they could share God's word with their neighbors, with their families, etc. So we have that bit of context for 1 Peter, unlike a lot of the epistles that are written by Paul, which are written to a specific community, a specific church. This is written to more of a group of people, you know, the new church, the new churches in Asia Minor. So it's not certain that it was written by Peter, if you remember from last week, but it was written in the name of Peter, which was a common way of doing things back then. So one of the commentaries that I was reading this week is from a woman named Judith Jones, who is professor of religion at Wartburg College and St. Andrew's Episcopal Church in Waverly, Iowa. And she says that 1 Peter has an important word to speak, both for those who feel alienated from society and for those who find themselves comfortable within it. So just the first line of her commentary jumps out at me and strikes me. And it speaks a word to those who are feeling alienated from society and those who find themselves comfortable within it. This isn't something that we often find in one letter, right? We don't often find two very disparate groups being brought together that way. So that intrigued me, made me want to read more and see more of what she had to say. She says that many of the people to whom this letter, 1 Peter, was written lived as outsiders in their communities. Others had grown up in the area and knew the local culture well, but had left the faith they were raised in to become Christians. Whether they were Jews who had become Christians, or foreigners who had moved into the area, or natives of another region who had converted to Christianity, they were regarded by the insiders as strangers, as other and different. 1 Peter calls them to embrace their otherness and live it out with utter commitment, seeing it not as a stigma, but as a priceless gift. And if you tuned into last week's podcast, where we were also talking about 1 Peter, then you might remember that in those verses, the book of 1 Peter, the author was encouraging the readers to remember that they had been made new in Christ. They had been made new in these promises of the resurrection. They had been brought together as one family, brothers and sisters in Christ, a family of God. They had been made children of God. And so there was that whole sense of connectedness that Peter, the author of 1 Peter, was trying to give them, reminding them that they may be strangers in their community, but that they were family within that church, within the promises that were made to them by God through the life, death, resurrection, ascension, blood, body of Jesus Christ. So that is a little bit of an introduction to the commentary, a little bit of context to this, these verses from 1 Peter. Right now we do have to take a break, so stay tuned and I will be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are talking about the text assigned for this week from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. And I read those verses for you before the break, but I did not ask my usual question of, was there anything that jumped out at you that struck you as new or different or that you maybe hadn't heard in a certain way before? I didn't ask that question. Hopefully you always think of those things just on your own, because most of us do notice when things sound different to us. But for me, what jumped out through in these six verses was the part talking about Christ, that we were saved not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for our sake. So, and then it says, through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. And this just jumped out at me because, of course, we are in the season of Easter. We are in the season of resurrection promises, of looking for signs of resurrection. So it just makes sense that this assigned lectionary text would have these descriptions of Jesus's resurrection, that it would be the foundation for the belief of the early church. Obviously, they, if they were Jews, they would have had their original beliefs, their initial scripture, their understanding of the way God works, and then they would have learned this new way of God being in the world through Jesus, through his followers who told the story of his death and resurrection, through the things that they had experienced when they traveled with him, when they saw him teaching and healing and preaching and being with people in a way that was completely unexpected for the Messiah, but in a way that brought us into a new relationship with God, gave us new promises from God, gave us a new way of seeing God, in that we are all connected as children of God, as brothers and sisters in Christ, and as a family that is together and dependent on one another, dependent on God, and living in these promises of God's love and God's grace. So that's what jumped out at me from the text from today. So we will go back a little to talking about some of the commentary for this text. And so we were talking about this commentary from Judith Jones, who is the professor of religion at Wartburg College and St. Andrew's Episcopal Church in Waverly, Iowa. And she was just reminding us that this letter was written to people who may have been, to people who were living as outsiders in their community, whether they had grown up in the area and knew the local culture, or whether they were foreigners, whether they were Jews who had become Christian. They were all experiencing this new kind of otherness, because this was a very new movement. It was a very new church. And so she writes that through Jesus's resurrection, 1 Peter says, God has given Christians a new birth into a new family. The precious gift of Christ's lifeblood has redeemed them, that is, set them free from the old way of life handed down by their ancestors. From the vantage point of their new life, their ancestral traditions are revealed as empty and pointless, with no lasting value. Surely in this passage, the author is thinking primarily of Gentile converts. It is inconceivable that a writer who relies so heavily on images and stories from the Hebrew Bible would refer to Jewish tradition as futile. And this does bring up a good point, because there was a lot of conversation in this time of how to figure out what happens next, because of course Jesus was a Jew. He was raised in the Jewish tradition. He was brought up with the beliefs of the Hebrew Bible, of the Hebrew scripture. He celebrated the festivals and feasts, but he was also the Messiah, the Son of God, and brought with him a new way of understanding God. So brought with him a new chapter, if you will, of the book of God's relationship with us. So it does sound, the people were trying to figure out if we invite Gentiles in as well, if this isn't just Jewish folk who have come to understand God in a new way through Jesus as the Messiah, how do we move forward? Do we move forward? If it was just all Jews, it would have been easy. They would have, again, considered that as the next chapter in that book. They would have had the foundations of their Hebrew Bible and their traditions, and they would have moved forward. But now that we are bringing in Gentiles, non-Jews, there is some concern over how they are going to figure out what traditions they keep, what traditions they don't keep. Do Gentile converts have to adhere to all of the Jewish traditions and all of the Jewish laws and rules, even though they hadn't grown up with them, even though they might not understand them? So how is this understood? And yet she is writing that, you know, other places in this letter, the author relies, she says, heavily on images and stories from that Hebrew Bible. So it seems like the author wouldn't be saying we should throw out those traditions, but we have to understand that the author is writing to both Jews who had converted as well as Gentiles who had converted to Christianity, although it may not have been fully known as Christianity yet at the time, but this new church, this new way of understanding. So how do we figure that out? Do we throw out all traditions? Do we just throw out traditions that aren't Jewish? How does this work? You know, you can imagine the conversations. If you've ever sat through any kind of church committee where there's 10 people in a room and 15 opinions, and I mean that with all the love in the world, you know, but you can imagine if there's so many opinions on, for example, the color of the church carpet, how many more opinions are there going to be on the entire church doctrine, on how this church is going to go forward, on what its beliefs are going to be, on what its traditions are going to be? So the commentator continues by saying, in fact, it is striking that the author would dismiss any ancient traditions as futile. In that culture, the older an idea was, the more valuable it was. New ideas might be interesting, but they did not have the weight and worth of traditions that were rooted in antiquity. Notably, 1 Peter does not say that newer is better. It argues that the Christian faith has the oldest, deepest roots of all. Christ was known before the foundation of the world. And this is another part that really jumps out at me, because it echoes the beginning of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That is the beginning, in the beginning there was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. And that verse is always in my head because it was the first thing I learned to read in my Greek class in seminary. So I may not ever remember anything else in the Greek language, in the ancient Greek language, but I think I will always remember in arche en ha logos, which is in the beginning was the Word. And so this goes back to Jesus not being a new idea, but Jesus being an ancient idea, because Jesus was around at the foundation of the world. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, Jesus was already there. Jesus was already with God. Jesus was already God. So Christ was known, she says, before the foundation of the world. This isn't, as I said, a new idea. This is an ancient idea. So in a culture that prizes ancient traditions over new ideas, and you can see that some in our own culture, you know, we got newfangled ideas, we don't want to move forward with tradition, and we may blame that on an older generation, but I think those ideas can be found in any generation, change being scary. that was definitely the case of, you know, change isn't always necessarily a good thing. It can certainly be a good thing, but people would have relied more heavily on their ancient traditions and the things that were tested and true. So you can see where, as a new church, even before you got to the how are we going to figure out these new traditions, you would have had people saying, I don't want new traditions. I don't want a new way of thinking. I don't want this new idea of a Messiah. I don't want this new relationship with God. And yet, the author of 1 Peter is reminding them that this isn't a new tradition. This is an ancient. This is as ancient as anything else because Jesus has been around since the beginning of time, since the beginning of the world, which kind of sounds a little bit like a Doctor Who episode with, you know, the beginnings of time and how God, how Jesus was there and how God was there and how they are here in the present and et cetera, et cetera. Faith and science fiction have a lot in common, folks. I'll just put that out there. But on that note, I do have to take our second break. So stay tuned and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are talking about the text assigned to us for this week of April 30th, the third Sunday of Easter. And today's text is from 1 Peter, the first chapter, verses 17 through 23. And I did go off on a bit of a random tangent when I started talking about Doctor Who and science fiction and faith. But I do not believe they are mutually exclusive. So, but that's also not the point of what we're talking about today. We're talking about new traditions versus old traditions. We are talking about new church. We're talking about new ways of believing in God, trying to figure out what that looks like. And then then we have this letter from the author of 1 Peter to the new churches in Asia Minor, trying to encourage them in their new faith, encourage them in their changing faith, reminding them that it might feel new and different, but it is also based on things, something meaning Christ, that is as old as God. Being, you know, in the beginning, Jesus was there. Jesus was there at the foundation of the world. So she says, the author Judith Jones continues by saying, those who believe in Christ and who through him place their trust and hope in God have become members of God's family. And I was talking about this a little bit before the break, that these outsiders, you know, foreigners who are living in a society that might not have felt like their own, have now found a new family. They have found family as brothers and sisters in Christ. They have found family in the family of God, in the children of God. So they have become members of God's family. In a world where people's lives revolved around acquiring social honor and avoiding social shame, what could be more honorable than being a child of God? Since Christians call God Father, 1 Peter urges them to conduct themselves as God's children. That means modeling their behavior and their values, not after their culture or their ancestral tradition, but after God, the parent who has given them new birth. And this is another paragraph that just jumped out at me, that struck me as being really helpful, as being really kind of beautiful. It reminds that they may have been out of step with the culture around them, but that they were family, they were God's children, and they should conduct themselves as such. And this makes me ask, how do we do this in our own lives? How does our relationship with God, how does our faith put us out of step with the culture around us? Does it? Do you feel like you ever are out of step with the culture around us, around yourself? Do you feel like your faith kind of puts you at odds with people who don't have the same faith as you? Do you feel judged maybe by friends or family who don't have the same faith as you? Well, this is the reminder that regardless, we are children of God, even if we might be out of step with the culture around us, even if we're in step with the culture around us, we are children of God and we should live as children of God. So what does that mean for us? Well, we have all of the scripture to tell us what it means to live as children of God. Both Old Testament and New Testament, both Hebrew and Christian scriptures tell us what it means to live in relationship with each other. It means taking care of those in our society who have less and taking care of those in our society who have been who've maybe fallen through the cracks, those who have been forgotten, those who need our help. It means seeing everyone as our brothers and sisters and treating them accordingly. There are story after story after story in both Old and New Testament that talk about loving your neighbor, that talk about treating everyone as though they were your neighbor, as though they were your family. There's the idea of hospitality in the Old Testament and the idea that of how you treat guests in your home, how you treat strangers, how you treat the poor, the widowed, the orphan, those who, the foreigner. And so when we look at the world around us, we have to ask ourselves the question, am I living as a child of God? Am I living in a way that reflects the promises that have been made to me, the promises that I have made by being a child of God, by being a person of faith, by being a part of a community who professes to believe in God, who professes to believe in Jesus as our Savior? So each of us has to look at the world around us and see what is going on in the world that I can change. What can I do to live more fully as a child of God? And that answer is going to be different for everyone. But we have to have it based in the words that God has given us, in God's word, in God's promises. When we look at the world around us, we don't look at it. We are encouraged to look at it through the eyes of being a child of God, not through the eyes of the dominant culture and society around us, which can be easy. It can be easy to get caught up in the dominant culture, in the ideas of what's going on around us, in 24-hour news cycles that bring us just day after day after day of terrible news of this scandal or that scandal or this going on, the world of politics, which is so, this is not a political podcast, but politics can be, you know, very contentious, very bipartisan, very, very hard to watch. No matter what side of the aisle you find yourself on, there is a lot of anger in the world. There's a lot of violence in the world. There are a lot of things where if we are truly children of God, if we are truly loving our neighbors as ourselves, if we are loving everyone as a brother and sister in the family of God, then we need to want to change the world around us to reflect the love that God has given us. We want to try to make the world a better place for all of our brothers and sisters, not just the ones who look like us, not just the ones who think like us. And this isn't easy. And it wasn't easy for the new Christians in the early church. They had a completely different set of issues, but their lives weren't easy. They were definitely outside of the cultural norm, and yet they are getting this encouragement from the author of 1 Peter to live as children of God, to recognize their role as children in the same family, to recognize their role as God's children who have been given the task of continuing Christ's work in the world. And what was Christ's work? Well, it was hanging out with people that were seen as unacceptable by the society around him. It was healing people. It was healing people who were considered unclean and who were not supposed to be touched or even associated with. It was It was talking with people. It was eating with people. It was doing all these things that were not expected of the Messiah at the time. And yet that is what we are called to do. We are called to go out into the world to share the love that we have been given from God through Christ and continue Christ's mission in the world, to continue healing and teaching and preaching using the gifts that God has given us. And we all have different gifts. And so we can all use those gifts to do a lot of different things in the world, to make a lot of things happen in the world. So as you are, it is time to start wrapping up, but I want to encourage you this week is as you are, again, looking for those signs of resurrection, also look and see where you can be resurrection in the world. Where can you bring life to the world around you? And that doesn't mean something huge, like you have to take on a global problem. You are one person, but you can make a huge difference, and you just have to start in your own neighborhood or in your own home or in your own corner of the world. And being a child of God, acting out in the ways that Christ has given us, acting out the ministry that Christ has given us, going out into the world to be Christ in the world, to be God's hands in the world, to do God's work in the world, and continue Christ's ministry, continue the ministry that the disciples continued after Jesus's death. So I hope I've given you some things to think about this week. I hope this didn't feel too lectury. It's just some thoughts that I had as I was going through the text and the commentary, and I just like to share those with you. What you do with them ultimately, of course, is up to you. As a reminder, you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download these podcasts as well as all of our podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and all of the apps that you use for your mobile devices. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. And as always, I would love to hear from you. Come and find me on social media. Hit me up with any questions you have, prayer concerns, etc. I would love to hear from you. I hope you'll join me tomorrow when we move into the gospel that is assigned for this week, and that is the story of the road to Emmaus. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to being with you again tomorrow as we conclude the fourth of this four-part episode. As always, go out and look for resurrection in the world, but while you're out there, please remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.